You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oh, let's start it up. Friday Energy, the second-to-last podcast of the week for DNVR. Not the last one. We got our buff show live in studio.
Yeah, the live show. Let's go.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into the DNVR Sports Podcast. Who we got as our presenting sponsor today?
Breckenridge.
Breckenridge.
Let's do it. Sour season. So many great Breck beers this summer.
The Mountain Beach is the best named one. I've said this before, but it's the best named one. Jeez. The Avalanche Amber is the top, in my opinion, is my own personal ranking. Mm-hmm. Palisade good. Peach, I would say the unofficial beer of summer, though. So that's the one. Even though Mountain Beach is our presenting sponsor beer, I'm going with Palisade Peach. Guys, we got a great show for you today. We're doing the what ifs, but not just the what ifs in history. We're doing what ifs of the last 5 years. We're containing it just to the last 5 years. Yes. This is recent history. If we go too far,
you're almost needling more doing it so recent.
It does hurt a little bit worse. Yeah. It definitely hurts a little bit worse to go back. Although not for us, man. Look at us, we're champions.
We're feeling good.
Come on, man.
That's true.
I did bring in the homies today, talking all sports at you every day, doing the bet show. Also, the general manager here. We got Andre Simone.
Let's go. Happy Friday to you all. Sliding doors moments. Nothing better than discussing a good hypothetical.
A good hypothetical. What do you do in the summer, in the off season of all your sports? You do hypotheticals, Andre.
Let's go.
That's what we're doing. And then, of course, the bearded man talking hockey with you 5 days a week. It is Rudo.
We've all run into a sliding door at one point in our lives, right? Like, everyone's done it at least once. So.
I've never run into a sliding door. I will say, there was a fellow tall guy. This is a true story. I knocked myself out in college one time coming down the stairs and hitting the overhead. That
out
true story.
Cold?
Jeez.
People thought I was drunk. People thought I was drunk and like passed out or whatever.
That's
and
one
like,
of those where you, you won't even correct him. You'll let him think that.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it, man. Unbelievable.
That's tough, bro. That's tough.
Being tall is a bummer. Actually, you know, in Studio A, there's the, you probably don't know this because you know, it doesn't bother you, but there is the sprinkler that's a little bit like 1 inch lower. Mm-hmm. Hit my head on it every time I walk
out. That sounds painful.
Oh, so little do you guys know.
Being average height. Thank you.
We're talking what ifs. And again, the last 5 years, and I don't think there's a team that has more, but you're talking about pain, right? There's not a team that has worse as in they're all negative. Some of these can be positive, but nobody has worse in terms of negative than the Denver Broncos. The last 5 years for the Denver Broncos has kind of been a fork in the road.
What if?
Like it's a series of forks in the road and constantly taking the wrong fork.
Yeah, pretty much. And not so many alternative forks to take. Like, it's just, they're down in the dumps.
I mean, from what I heard from Sean Payton, it seems like there might be some alternative routes you could have taken. But
my optimism for Broncos is definitely waning. None of us, particularly Broncos guys, and we all cover, everybody's a Bronco guy that lives in Denver.
That's right.
Yep. But
damn straight.
I will say, man, I famously, I think on this show 2 weeks ago, I was like, my optimism is unbelievable, out of control. I'm telling you already. Like
back into the dumpster.
Russell Wilson has zero touchdowns through 9 days of training
camp.
Not awesome. That's a little concerning.
But I mean, given the season the Avs just had, seeing everyone get injured in Broncos training camp is like, oh, it's going to be one of those.
I feel like that's football in general. But let's get into the what if first for the Broncos. The biggest what if, and I think it might be the number one what if we really do like all Denver sports.
Of all of them the last what, 5 years, yeah.
What if exactly 5 years ago, 2018, Denver Broncos had drafted Josh Allen instead of Bradley Chubb? Now, this one's gotten a lot of airtime everywhere. Talk radio, newspaper, print, everything has been talking about this one. Yep. But to me, it's the number one. Dre, walk us back here.
There's six cities you can do this with because he's drafted seventh overall.
Right. But even at the time, though, here's the difference.
Oh.
that still was, everybody was calling for. This is one that there was at least enough people saying, that's the guy, go for it.
Yes, there was. He was, though, the classic boomer bust prospect. Yeah. This guy was Giannis. He was, I don't know, name some toolsy power forward with, like, crappy stats. He, like, I remember getting in such a debate with an old Italian friend I used to podcast with over whether Josh Allen was a viable prospect or not.
Where were you at?
He just stopped talking to me.
Really?
I was coming from the Senior Bowl, and he was like, oh, man, no. You saw Josh Allen at the Senior Bowl? And I was like...
So you were anti-Josh Allen.
I was more pro of Josh Allen than most, but like he didn't complete over 60% of his passes, and that was the book on him, was like, this guy's historically inaccurate as far as quarterback prospects go. Yes, he does have all those other tools. And I wrote a column at the time, don't let Paxton Lynch's development make you shy away from Josh Allen. And I wonder how much Paxton not working out, being another big quarterback, big arm athlete who didn't pan out, really impacted that decision.
I mean, that would be my question in that what if is, even if the Broncos drafted him, would they have given him enough time? Because it took a little while in Buffalo for him to get it together.
Yes, it did.
Or is there a world where Josh Allen is just another name on the list of failed Broncos quarterbacks?
I kind of have a theory that rookie coaches and rookie quarterbacks in this town for the Denver Broncos are seldom going to work out. You need to be super duper special to work out.
But is this still a thing? Here's my question, though. The post-Elway thing was a big deal because it was we have it. Yes. And we're going to run into this with Jokic at a certain point. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure the Avs ran into this, in the first golden era.
The Avs got the second coming.
But it took a generation. Yeah, there's a generational gap there.
There's a decade of pain in there.
And I do wonder with the Broncos, like that nobody living up to the Elway standard lingered way longer than it should have. I do wonder, though, then you go from Manning in 2013 being transcendent. Yep. 2014, then 2015, you won a Super Bowl. It shouldn't have lingered from there. And you did have Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch. You did have that carousel. But to me, what we know about football, obviously, over the last decade, of course you should just take quarterbacks.
Yeah, pretty much.
And just find one. Like, get
so
four
much
of them.
More
and then...
valuable. Uh-huh. I know. Why hasn't anyone done this? Is the crazy thing. Why don't you just go all in? And I think it's less like the... having to pick the mantle from Elway and Manning. I just think it's all the media attention and fan base impatience with young quarterback. Like, I don't know that we're willing to give a long enough leash,
Let's ask this first one, though.
That might be a copy.
I do think the period from 2018 to 2022, it's a four-year period, and you could actually probably go 2 years before that even. But that period is, in my opinion, defined by the ownership change. Bolin's fully gone at that point. Yes. We don't know exactly what we're doing, and there's all that. So I wonder if the Broncos got Josh Allen in 2018.
Yeah.
Is he good? Is there a chance? I like to believe it's Vance Joseph.
Uh-huh. It's Vance Joseph. It's a revolving door of offensive coordinators. Like, I don't know. It's a 50-50 proposition. And it's crazy to say with what's arguably the second best player in the NFL right now, right? Like that, he wouldn't have worked out here. But I mean, he was very raw. He needed to develop quite a bit, especially those first 2 years before he could break out in year three. And I wonder, would he have gotten that runway endeavor?
Well, you were coming him to Giannis, but Jokic maybe is also a comp here. Like, Jokic is so great. He's one of the greatest players ever. But I actually think, and it's not even a knock on him, it's a knock on the fact that he was always going to be a second-round pick. I don't know that he would have worked out everywhere. In fact, I think there's a lot of places he wouldn't have, and maybe Josh Allen
has some similarities. Well, he's so unconventional, too, you know? Like, not everyone can fit those skills,
That being said, though, Dre, if he did work out, it's like Vance Joseph, the second greatest Broncos coach of all time. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I know. That's what's crazy. I mean, the sliding doors of, if Josh Allen worked out and the Chiefs and Broncos have the best young quarterbacks in the entire NFL
batting
it out for the next 12 years.
The NFL missed out on this. The Broncos screwed the NFL.
Yes. The kid comes from Wyoming. I mean, I remember going to Josh Allen's pro day and nothing but NFL media and GMs, and Gary Kubiak was there, and he put on an absolute show.
All right.
The guy's, like, raw talent-wise, he's incredible, mesmerizing.
All talent? I just struggle to believe the Broncos could have given him the toolbox. My other question there, though, is would the Broncos have had a receiving core that would make it work?
Gosh, I'm trying to think back to 2018. They probably were... Sanders.
Cortland Sutton, Demaryius Thomas, Tim Patrick.
Yes, that's so you not still bad. Had some veterans.
That's
Could've workable. Done worse.
They could have got him in there.
Could have done worse.
But it's Vance Joseph. Sure. Would have been having the time of his life. Joseph,
no doubt.
Jed, the King of Thornton in the chat here talking about Pat Bowlen back in 2009 firing Mike Shanahan. We're only going back 5 years, but it does bring up our second sliding doors for the Denver Broncos, or what if, which is what if the Broncos hired Kyle Shanahan as their head coach instead of Vance Joseph? Kyle Shanahan, phenomenal coach. Yeah. Vance Joseph, not so good of a coach.
And Kyle Shanahan, one of those few coaches who's kind of shown you can win in the NFL without having a great quarterback, which is kind of sounds like what the Broncos could have really used the last 5 years.
Yep.
Boy, this one's more an episode from Succession or a Game of Thrones book than it is a Broncos sliding door. Because I think so much of this really does have to do with, like, was Elway ready to share that spotlight? Yeah. You know, I mean, because Kyle really was...
a character.
Yeah, a bit of a chosen son in this town.
But you think it was him and not Joe Ellis?
I think it was a combination of all. Look, I think in a lot of ways they already had kind of pegged Vance Joseph as the guy years prior. But Kyle Shanahan, every once in a while, there are these coaching cycles where there's a candidate like Kyle Shanahan who you know, like, oh, this guy's got next. And the Broncos, being the Broncos, him being Mike Shanahan's son, if they wanted him, he was theirs to have. Like, you could have made that happen. And then it would have just had this perfect, like, kind of harmonious, like, Mike's the guy who got John in and won a title for him, and John brings in Kyle, and, like, it would have been almost too perfect, you know? And I think it just was a little...
Yeah.
You know? Like, I think it was almost too... It was so perfect, it was messy. And they went this another direction. Like
you're trying to talk yourself into it was the right decision after the fact, is what this sounds like.
Hiring Kyle Shanahan?
No, not hiring.
No. No, I think it would have been perfect. To me, that was a shoo-in. To me, that, you know, every once in a while, as a franchise, you have these unique advantages. And there, to me, they had this, like, oh, we can play this Kyle Shanahan card. And they chose not to. He was theirs to have.
Do you think this would have hurt Kyle Shanahan at all? Because there's one thing to be the son of a famous athlete or coach or whatever, but there's another one to be that and then go to the same franchise. Uh-huh. Where do we have... What's the precedent in sports? Do we have this father and son... Both for the same coaching team?
I don't know.
Or coaching, but even just the
We're
same
We're seeing
team.
It more in, like, college hoops, right? Like...
John Thompson.
Yeah, John Thompson. To me, Patrick Ewing almost being hired as a George... You know, it's like Ewing is he's so close.
An alum. There's a lot of alum.
It's like Shanahan thing.
The Griffies.
They're so close.
The Guerreros. Baseball has it, it seems.
Maybe baseball.
It's an easier sport.
But same team part of this, because obviously in the NBA we have some great father-son things, but they're different franchises, you know? And I do think there's just something too, like Klay Thompson's a Laker, and now it's like, and his father, you know, I don't know. Does it make it a little different?
In that hierarchy, like Kyle Shanahan, part of his success is he handpicked his GM in San Francisco, and that's John Lynch, another former Bronco. And while it's, you know, it's a GM-coach relationship where really the GM answers to the coach, he would not have had that in Denver where John Elway is like an off-season off of his Super Bowl win, right? Like, John at that point is running the town. He's running the franchise. It's very complex, but, I mean, that definitely sets the Broncos on a completely different trajectory for the future.
Rudo, the thing about Kyle Shanahan is... team probably would have been way more fun.
Oh, that's that. I actually wanted to ask.
No doubt.
The modern Broncos have kind of been projected as this defensive team out of necessity.
Yeah.
Could Shanahan have changed that? Would this have been a gung-ho offense, completely different look?
at least to some extent. Yeah. I mean, it would at least be more progressive and entertaining than it's been the last 5 years. And you would have had some consistency on the offensive play calling, which might have doomed them more than anything else, you know? Like,
this is my thing, though, about my optimism. This is my belief that this coach can come in. If you're an offensive-minded guy with a little creativity and forward-thinking, you'll change it. But, again, this is a real test for the Broncos this year. Are they actually different?
Yeah, that's huge.
TBD. But Kyle Shanahan, if you combine these, what if you got Kyle Shanahan and Josh Allen
in 2018? I know.
The Broncos, the Nuggets and Avs titles, like, totally irrelevant. Under the radar. Yeah. Nobody even notices.
I know.
Because we're just talking Broncos all the time. The last one I have here, this is just a quick one. What if the Eagles traded for Russell Wilson instead of the Broncos? This might be the biggest what if, just because it feels a little hopeless at the moment with old Russ.
It does. And, I mean, that's one, like, keep in the bank for TDSP of, like, worst trades in Denver sports history in a couple years. If you don't see that jump from Russ, and having been able to dodge that bullet would obviously have been huge.
I think Philly would have ran Russell Wilson's corniness out of town in about 2 weeks.
That's the other thing.
That would have been a tough sell.
The Eagles, by not making that trade, had an all-time season and now have this, like, emerging young quarterback who in that offseason they were on the fence about if Jalen Hurts, a second rounder, was really the answer. So it's a sliding doors with more at-large NFL implications. God, I wonder who the quarterback would be, though.
I know.
Kenny Pickett? I don't know. I mean, it's another, like, boy, the alternative.
Could it actually be worse?
Yeah.
Could be Aaron Rodgers was, like, rumored, and then a year later ends up leaving. So maybe it was, like, a gap year, and then Aaron Rodgers.
The other one is Hackett so bad it wouldn't have mattered. You know?
Yeah, like, for real.
One or another. But at least you would still have those top 10 picks that the Seahawks have since used.
Yeah, that's true.
There is that. So,
you know. Here's the funny thing. When I was talking about my change in optimism, 2 weeks ago, I was like, it's not Russ. He still has it. It was Hackett. It's all his fault. Sean Payton, and now I'm sitting here going, what if Hackett's a genius? This is the next great coach, but he was way
strapped to Russ.
All right, let's take a little break. On the other side, Rudo, we're going to get into some Avs. You might have a little insight on some Avs.
Some are fun, some are painful. It's
true. There are some good ones, though.
Yeah, so I'm not on the, I don't know, the Slack DM conversation where everyone got free factor meal kits and is bragging about it.
Sucks to suck, Dre.
Yeah, it does suck to suck. That's right. Because I see.
I was gone that week. The one week I was gone.
Oh, you were in Iceland. You got factor meal kit.
You guys missed out.
Yeah,
let me
dude,
tell you.
I know. I see the sales squad. They're having it for lunch.
Dude, they're the best lunches.
Jason
Seriously.
Was having a delicious, like, potatoes and carrots and, like, some brown beef.
Yeah,
just looked extraordinary.
A little meatloaf, so good. Actually, they have, like, fillets if you want to get their nice stuff. It's
what the hell, Rudo? Are you putting them in the oven? Are you
no 2 minutes?
Zap
dude.
Them.
You zap them for two
oh,
minutes.
Oh man,
it's so good.
Honestly, the thing I'm most jealous about right now is these shakes I see, like, Megan tweeting out. I'm like, dude,
I know the shakes.
Banana.
They look phenomenal.
I did not get any of the shakes because my wife drank them all in like
really?
3 days.
Oh no!
You got jacked.
That's how you know this is the real deal, man. I mean, they are all the rage here at the DNVR office. They are just all the rage in general. Head to factormeals.com/ DNVR 50. There you go. Yeah, for TDSP. DNVR 50. Factor Meals with an S.com/ DNVR 50 and use that code DNVR 50 to get 50% off. That's code DNVR 50.
Look how good that looks. That. Strawberry banana factor shake. My God.
Her fridge is also putting my fridge to shame there.
No surprise.
Good stuff. Yeah, no surprise indeed. All these great meals. Yeah, Hank's eating well. I'm like, what's going on right now?
Dre's fridge is just bananas, by the way. People don't know this. He eats 12 bananas a day.
It is. It's true. It's true. Who knows? Maybe I have a fiber overload.
I think
Who
bananas
knows?
Potassium.
Yeah, potassium.
I don't even know what's in a banana.
I don't care. They taste good. They keep my stomach happy. But yeah, certainly would much rather have a factor meal kit. I could tell you that much. And boy, oh boy, is this a tough one this weekend because Game Time always has you covered on all the latest deals on tickets, in town. We're obviously all big sports guys here, so game time, typically we would go to a sports game. The Rockies are on the road until the 14th of August. The PIDs are off because the MLS is playing
eliminated from their league cup. They let us down on that one a little bit.
So I really don't know. Both Yahir and I's wives would love to go to the Peso Pluma concert. That is,
I don't even know who that is.
Trending right now on Game Time. Tickets going for $280. I actually think from when we started the show to now, that's increased to $100. That's how big Peso Pluma is. You know what? Get yourself $11 tickets to the Rockies against the Diamondbacks on the 11th. I'm actually taking the little one before she's back in school to a Rockies game. Hey, look, I'm doing it, guys.
They made the trades. They're going to play the kids at least.
I want to see the kids with my kid, and we're doing it through Game Time, where right now you can sign up with Game Time, use that code DMVR, and get $20 off. That's two free tickets for me and the kiddo at Coors to watch the D-bags in town. That's our game of the week. It's next week, the 14th. Go watch the D-bags with me and the kiddo. Use that code DMVR for $20 off. Game Time, best customer service, best deals, and our Game Time game of the week.
All right. Yeah. Back here, segment two, the Denver Sports Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to this one so you never miss it. We do them every single week. We want to grow the show, get some great panelists from and around DNVR. You're not going to want to miss it. All right, let's do the Avs. Rudo, the first one you submitted.
Yep.
Your first nomination. What if Nazem Kadri wasn't suspended in the 2021 series versus Vegas?
Yeah. Well, what if the Avs were back-to-back cup champs? Yep.
You think that's just that simple?
It's a little more complicated than that, but I think it's a very real possibility that they get there. I promise you they don't lose to Vegas in six with Kadri in the lineup.
Let me just push back. Before you get too deep into this, because this is my outsider's hockey take.
Sure.
I thought the Avs looked so soft in that series.
Yeah, because they didn't have Nazem Kadri.
That's my question. Was he enough to bring it up? I know he's the toughness, but is he enough to elevate it to the level they needed in that series?
I think they at least force a game seven with Kadri. I don't know if they solve the Philip Grubauer problem in net that cropped up at the end of that series. That one would be a little bit tougher and would be the big thing that you're looking at of like, well, maybe it didn't matter. But it wasn't even the toughness. JT Compher and Tyson Jost trying to play the second line role in that series, they just couldn't hang. And Kadri was not only able to hang, was a super effective force in the playoffs when he's not getting himself suspended. Yeah. He can produce, he can be physical, he can function as a face-off winning guy for you, which the Avs could have used some of in that series. Yeah. It really, I don't know if they win it, but it would have been really, really fun if the Avs went to the finals. Philip Grubauer gets the revenge series against the Washington Capitals. It really, really missed out on some fun. Now, you know, obviously 2022 happened and I care a whole lot less about this what if than had the Avs not won a cup. But the thing is, like, this is the third time this has happened to Nazem Kadri. The same scenario played out in Toronto with him twice.
That's why he gets traded, right? Essentially.
So there's two cities with this what if
that are
both talking about it as like, this could have changed the course of not only his career, but if Toronto, a long-suffering fan base, had he not gotten suspended for them. So
that 21 season's very high on my all-time, like, we should have had that chip regret list.
That's why really it hurt so bad.
Yeah.
And I think, and this is why I was getting at it, Rudo, because I think, correct me if you disagree, but I thought the Avs were good enough to win a title that year, and they were like you know, whatever. But there is this other piece that when you win a title, you kind of realize that it's not just the talent. There's this other thing.
There's more to it.
And that year, that was the lowest of lows.
I don't agree, but we'll get to that in a minute.
That was the lowest in terms of like the team. You know, there were real questions. Even McKinnon after that one was talking about, like, I haven't won anything. Yeah. Like he was almost beating the analyst to the punchline of, like, maybe I'm just a good stats, bad, you know, not a winner or whatever. And it was like, you got there. It's always darkest before the dawn, and it propelled them. But you kind of think that maybe they didn't need that. They could have just won it that year.
Yeah, I really do think if Philip Grubauer kept it together, if they get through that series, they get Nazem Kadri back anyway.
Right.
So all they had to do was get through Vegas. And if Kadri was there, I'm not saying they would 100%, but they'd have a whole lot better chance of winning that series. And, you know, somehow the team got better the next year and they did win it. So it's great, but it will go down in Avs history as maybe not quite as bad as the 03 team that was the super team that couldn't get it done. But
I say darkest, I meant of that era. I'm just saying, like, we look at this era of McKinnon, you know.
Yeah, well, this era began in the darkness.
But the darkness when you're a bad team, when you're a terrible team, is to me not darkness. That's like we're waiting for direction or something. It's when you're ready to win and don't that it's like, going to slip through our fingertips? Well,
and it's very much, as you mentioned with the McKinnon comments, there's like, if the Avs don't figure this out in the next 2 years, he might leave. And now we're sitting here with an 8-year extension for Nathan McKinnon. Right, right.
So. I know the title has since eased the pain of some of that, but I do remember being on TDSP's in those years and feeling like, man, the Avs window is like wide open.
Yeah.
And now this last season and this off season makes me feel like, man, I don't know that I gave full credit to how like slim the margins are to make this championship window fit, even with this young core. You know,
I still think they have a very wide open window for the most part.
Yeah.
So. And look, they won a cup.
You cannot complain.
No
matter
what.
Once you win a cup, man, in an era, it's like that era is validated. Even if you think like the Warriors won four, they can look back and say, oh, but we let that one go. But come on, guys.
Yeah. If I'm dreaming here, there's a very real world where we're talking about the difference between this being a modern dynasty and a true dynasty for Colorado is because Kadri got suspended that year and they didn't do the thing.
All right, well, let's go to another what if, another sliding door here. And this one's going back maybe 1 year too long. But what if the Avs win the draft lottery?
It's five seasons. It counts.
Five seasons, okay. What if the Avs win the draft lottery in 2017 and select consensus pick Nolan Patrick?
Yeah, so we know for sure the Avs had Patrick at one on their board. If they had won the lottery, they would have done this. And if you're not a hockey fan, Nolan Patrick has more or less become a failed prospect because of injury and not living up to the hype. He's barely in the NHL at this point because of the injuries. And
instead they lost.
Instead they lose the lottery, which arguably the darkest point in Avalanche, Avalanche history.
Because this was a tanking era to get 48 that. 48
points,
get it.
The worst NHL season in modern history, and then you lose the lottery.
Right, and you don't just lose it. You get the fourth pick, the lowest pick you could have gotten.
Everyone's in absolute shambles at this point. And you end up with the best possible outcome, as we know now. But had they not gotten him?
With McKinnon, right? 2017?
No, 2017 was McCarr.
McKinnon was McCarr. Okay, gotcha.
13, actually. With McCarr, if they don't get him, they probably don't have a third Stanley Cup right now.
For sure.
I don't even...
Come on.
It's high. I mean...
I think this.
No, I'm saying they don't.
Gotcha.
We're like, if they don't have Kale McCarr.
Right. That's.
I mean, if the Nuggets don't have Jamal Murray, I'm not sure they win. I think so.
But and the Nolan Patrick part of this is the one that is so unbelievable. Like, you truly have no idea where the Avs are because.
Yeah.
If, you know, they went out and got a Nico Hischier even, you're like, all right, well, they have a good player. This pushes them in the right direction. Nolan Patrick means they're still at the bottom of the league.
Yeah.
They're still not a good hockey team. At what point are you spiraling into the level of Arizona? Because at this point, the Avs haven't really been a good team in a decade.
Yeah.
And they've had a one or two playoff berths that never went anywhere. And... genuinely, we could still be talking about them in an eternal rebuild today.
This is why sports rule, though, Rudo, because we do this all the time where we're like, oh, we got such bad luck. And usually it's true. Like, they're not always lucky. But that's the thing about sports is it's never fully hopeless. It felt hopeless, I'm certain, at that moment.
Totally.
Felt hopeless. But it turns out it was actually the best.
Because we didn't know any better. Yeah.
I know.
What if the Avs won the draft lottery in 2019 and selected Jack Hughes?
So this one is interesting because it actually has a ton of spiraling options that could have happened. What they ended up with was Bowen Byram, for the record, in that draft. And then they took Alex Newhook at 16 in that draft, too. If they had the 2019 pick, won the lottery, this is the pick they got from Ottawa, and they take Jack Hughes, first of all, you probably end up in a world where the Avs never have Nazem Kadri because you now have McKinnon and Jack Hughes down the middle. And then what do they do with that 16th pick? Do they take a defenseman at that pick? How do they round out the rest of their team? And I honestly don't know.
Too many things.
Yeah, that spirals out of control. And then before all of that, this was Ottawa's pick from the Duchesne trade, which they could have given them the 2018 pick if they wanted, which would have also been the fourth overall, and they could have taken Brady Tkachuk. So you could have ended up with two different all-star caliber forwards in Colorado in worlds that aren't that different from this one. Do they win a Stanley Cup? Maybe. I would certainly feel more confident in those worlds than I do in the one where they don't end up with Cale Makar. But Bowen Byram was a huge key piece for them in that 2022 run. Yeah.
But what are the odds? Like, I don't know Jack Hughes. So what is
Jack
he better?
Hughes is
like,
Jack Hughes is a better player than Bowen Byram, but he's a forward where Byram's a defenseman. Right. So it would be very interesting now. As Jack Hughes had 99 points last year. He's top of the league type player. Not quite as good as McKinnon yet, but.
But to have two guys like that.
Yeah, right. You're talking Crosby and Malkin levels in Colorado at that point, where you have arguably, I mean, I guess you have McDavid and Draisaitl in Edmonton, but one of the top three center combinations in the world, and you still have Mikko Rantanen in there. It probably reshapes how you view...
And Cale Makar.
Yeah, but even then, it probably reshapes how you view Colorado, because Colorado has become known as this defensive juggernaut, one of the best defenses in the league. Right. They still have a very good defense, but you'd be talking about them as probably the best offense in the league. Which
completely different team.
Yeah, and skating speed would have been even more of a thing.
It'd be multiplied by another factor there. Yeah. And I think there's probably a good chance there, either in the 2022 Cup, maybe they win it, maybe it's a conference finals, whatever, because that team would be hard to beat.
Scary.
But it would really, really reshape how you think about the team as a whole, as far as their legacy is concerned. And it might actually be a funner team than it is now, which is crazy to say because the Avs are super fun. But Hughes and McKinnon would have been a blast to watch.
Yeah. These ones are fun, man, because the draft, it's funny how much hinges on a draft pick in these sports, especially the sports where one player matters so much.
A 17-year-old kid, and you're like, who knows?
Yeah especially with how young and everything. I do love this version of the Avs, and it does make you wonder, like, with hockey, I do love speed and I do love scoring more than I love, like, a great defense.
So most people do.
So for me, I'm sitting here going, like, I don't know, that one sounds kind of fun, even though I like Byram, so... Who knows? All right, let's take another break. On the other side, Midnight Mel Tucker?
Ooh.
What if he never flew the coop under the cover of darkness?
Who knows? The
Where would we be?
Implications now.
Also some Rockies one.
There you go.
Wow. Shane, tell us how you really feel.
Yes. Unlike the Rockies, we could not be higher on Shady Rays right now. They are such... I mean, of all the products we endorse, this is one of those I just love. First off, I'm a gearhead. Secondly, I love all their styles. In Colorado, you need shades. I always have shades on me. An extra pair in the car, you name it. And so I'm more of a volume guy, you know, and I was often picking volume over quality before. Shady
you
Rays,
have kids. You
I don't
understand
have to make
how they
these
break
choices.
Things.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, those designer glasses are just like, what? I got my t-shirt on discount from DMVR and my shoes are $50 Vans. I'm wearing $200 on my eyes. Like that doesn't check out. Shady Rays, though, I don't have to make sacrifices. I can get designer glasses with tip-top lenses, pick out all their styles at amazing prices. And right now, our listeners can get even better prices using that code DMVR for 50% off their order from ShadyRays.com. It's their best deal of the season. Use that code DMVR. Honestly, there's still like a bit of a hidden gem because they'll tell you they're rated 5 stars by 250,000 people in the world. Millions of people should be rating these guys 5 stars. It's like... And now I look at other sunglasses, I'm just like, it's stupid to buy anything else.
Why would you?
And then, you know, I've got FOMO with them too, because other people in the office picked out cool shades and I'm like, wait, what? I have six pairs. How did I not pick those out? So yeah, Shady Rays, man, for life. Use that code DMVR, shadyrays.com. Check them out. Always love this read. Circle K, our place for snacks on road trips or what have you. Long commute home. Sometimes I need a break. I stop, get a pop, what have you.
You get a pop, do you?
Yeah.
You don't get a
yeah.
soda, you get a pop.
I got right. a pop. All I got right. a pop.
My I'm a grandpa, pop fella myself. Are you a pop guy or are you a soda guy?
Soda. Honestly, I call all soda Coke. It's very
weird. Yeah, okay, you're a Coke guy. That's different. No, yeah.
But I don't drink Coke. I drink Pepsi.
Yeah, of course. It's a Coke, though. It's a Coke.
Yeah, Grandpa's from Minnesota, so I think that's where I get pop from. But we always talk about our favorite snacks on the road. Rudo, you got snacks just before popping
I'm
on the show, so
snack
I saw
master.
It. Tell them, what's your go-to snack?
Lately, I've been on the corn nuts.
You
kick.
Are
pretty,
on the corn nuts.
Pretty
kick.
Hard.
You are.
It's the easiest thing for me to eat. So, actually, my real treat before I got married was sunflower seeds. I would eat sunflower seeds all day, every day. But my wife's allergic to sunflower seeds.
Whoa. Really?
Yeah. So I had to swap to the corn nuts as the replacement treat.
What a guy, though. Do you hear this? I'm telling you, that's true love right there.
Man, I'm also thinking, like, you guys have been together forever. Like, you haven't had sunflowers in your life for, like, a two decades.
Well, so we're married for five.
He's like, that was a marriage commitment. Yeah. That wasn't really an engagement.
The first
one.
7 years of dating was like, well,
like, not ready to give this a ring on it. I'm still gonna enjoy sunflowers, babe. I love that for you. I love that. There's so many great snacks at Circle K you can get. Thank you to Circle K for sponsoring the MBR. Visit the nearest Circle K near you and pick up all your favorite snacks. AJ
Fun fact. Yeah, AJ, by
stuff.
The way, chiming in says Hughes in Colorado would have made them dynastic. He's less ambivalent as you.
I'm still a believer in defense winning championships. I think they probably win a cup, but I don't know if they're full on dynasty with Hughes.
Okay.
It's just there's so many other moves to follow before you can truly see. Yeah.
You know, maybe the Avs go out and trade for Erik Karlsson when they get Jack Hughes. I don't know. Right. But.
A top 10 moment for me of this Nuggets run was when, after getting in a little tussle on the sidelines, new owner, Phoenix Suns owner Matt Ishbia, thought he was sly. He thought he was clever. He brought in his old buddy, his old pal Mel Tucker to sit courtside in Denver, just as a little troll, knowing that Midnight Mel is a disgusting name here in Colorado. That's and he thought he was being slick. And, of course, famously, Jokic handed him the ball, completely disarmed him, and then just dominated the rest of the series and embarrassed him.
Great stuff.
I just wanted to tell that story as Midnight Mel being a part of it. That's Midnight Mel Tucker, though. He flew the coop. He goes to Michigan State. I mean, if you give me truth serum here, slimy, college football slimy. Oh. He went to a better paying, better gig. Yeah. Like, part of me goes like, but I can't say
get
that.
Your bread.
Cut that feed. Don't include that part here. Midnight
After
Mel Tucker.
After 1 year is what really got people.
After 1 year. And after doing, remember he had the like speech he gave at like 8 p.m. to the boosters. Yep. And then like at 10 p.m. he was gone.
Yeah.
Like, this, for sure. It was slimy.
It was also very late in the process, which made it feel all very unsettling.
Midnight Mel Tucker, though, if he stays, here's some sliding doors for you, Dre.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think he's good enough and building enough momentum on the recruiting trail to still have a job and Coach Prime to never come to fruition, which, I mean, now that feels like, boy, decades ago. I mean, eons ago.
It's so true.
Like, since then, the Buffs are recruiting completely different levels of kids, and they're in a different conference, and like,
that's so true.
They're getting like, the
are you talking
of
about the Pac-12 Buffs of yesteryear?
Right. Just the media exposure they're getting is like 1990s Buffs versus what we've been used to in the 2000s. So that changes
entire
everything.
Life.
Yeah, exactly.
I was two when they won.
Wow. Would they be any different, though, on field? Who knows? Who knows?
I know. Are you a CU person?
No, I went to CSU.
Are you a CSU person?
Not really.
Not really a college guy.
I was there when they hired Adazio. So
Mel Tucker, though, how would you rate him as a college coach? Because here's the thing. There's CU good, and then there's good.
Well,
and so, now CU to good is different with Coach Prime, but before, I mean, it was...
He leaves CU as, like, a good, promising coach. I mean, the Michigan State hire
good recruiting,
like,
and
like,
the...
You're a top 30 guy being paid as a top 15 guy. He has an extraordinary year his first year at Michigan State. And then all of a sudden, he's considered like a top 10 coach in college football.
Right, right.
Which, in college football, the star is the coach. So that's a big deal. Regress since that next year. So, I mean, that's college football for you. He rose from like top 50 guy to top 30 to like top 10. To now it's like, geez, another bad season. They might can him at Michigan State. You know, like... It changes that quick.
Oh, I hope it happens. And he can go spend more time with his buddy, Matt Ishbia.
It'll happen. Matt Ishbia, who I think is one of the big boosters who
$100 million That's why him showing up. Like, you guys remember when I stole Mel Tucker for you? Series tied 2-2. He really thought he was slick, didn't he, Matt Ishbia? Now what are you?
Yeah.
A loser. Absolute loser.
I think he is a loser. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm a little... You got a little heated there for a second.
What if here? Do the Denver Nuggets ever win a championship?
That's so true. The sliding doors of Mel Tucker never sits courtside. It is funny to think that they didn't win again after Mel Tucker arrived. The Suns were done. Did he ruin it for them? We don't know. Let's go to the Rockies here. So here's a funny thing. When I reached out to all of DNVR and said, hey, send me the what ifs, the saddest teams had the longest list.
They did.
The Rockies crew sent me like the longest list of what ifs, right? Like, it was nothing but bad decisions. But the top one that they listed here was allowing DJ LeMahieu to leave after 2018. This is what sort of triggered
the series of events. The beginning of the end, yeah.
Because the Rockies at this very moment. I think they are. I think the Rockies are at this very moment are at a franchise low. This might be the lowest, not in terms of being bad or good, although they're very bad and also near that, but in worst in terms of, like, where are we going?
Yep. Like, full-blown apathy and lack of any sort of
path
forward.
It was the first sign that, oh, they don't actually care about winning.
And that's what this was. Yes. And, you know, I have a note here that even Montfort has gone on record saying that he regrets the decision here. Give me the sliding doors on this one, Rudo.
The sliding doors, the Rockies are potentially a perennial playoff team if they can keep DJ LeMahieu. Mm-hmm. You're talking about a guy who won a batting title in Colorado, went on to be successful in New York also doing that. But every single piece in Colorado that leaves is connected to the last because the Colorado Rockies aren't willing to build around their stars. And that's the reality of the situation with LeMahieu and then that trickles into Arenado, which trickles into Story, and you go the other direction. LeMahieu's not even really first on the list. You have Tulo. You have
He's actually just in the chain, but you can go backwards or forwards.
Yeah, either way, LeMahieu's just the guy in the middle who won a batting title about it and was supposed to be in the turning point of the Rockies of like when they were supposed to come out and start being a playoff team consistently, and then they weren't. And there's a story that gets told. I assume it's true, but pretty much every star that has ever played for the Rockies will pass on to the next Rockies star player that, hey, you're not going to win here.
Right.
Everyone has done it. Helton.
That's what Arenado to me represents. And that's why I say for me, this is as much as you're right that it's in a chain of decisions. To me, it does feel like the beginning of the end because the end to me was Arenado being like, that's what this is. I'm out of here. And then sure enough, the Rockies were like, you know what? We're going to prove him right.
Well,
Hold on. We got this wrong.
Core of the team started to fall apart at that point because the era before that, you had kind of Helton as the staple who never left Colorado, was always there. And then you built this new set. The Tulo era
We have some fun times.
But you built the new era that was supposed to be the one that gets them to perennial contention. And instead of being willing to commit to that, where we are now with the Montforts.
Well, in the previous offseason, they commit big money to Ian Desmond, which is going to go down as one of the worst free agent signings.
That was poor.
You know, so like they were committed to trying to make this work, and that really is the beginning of the end.
Not getting anything for John Gray at the 2021 deadline. You also didn't get a draft pick for Trevor Story that same year. And then this is a note from Patrick. Probably would have resulted in a few more wins and hope for this season. Now, here's what I love about this one and why I think it matters and why I wanted to include it. 2021 move, that would have given hope to this season.
Yep. Yep.
This is the thing about baseball.
It's how long term it is.
It takes so long to turn the ship. Yep. So now when I hear, like, so I talk to Susie and Patrick all the time, be like, okay, how do the Rockies get out of here? What is it? And the vision is always so long. Yeah. They're like, well, if they start, and they did make the trade, you know, last week, maybe getting some prospects. But it's always like, and then you develop in them, and then like two,
that
three,
kid might be here 4 years,
and you're like, you're telling me that at best we're going to like 2, 3, 4 mm-hmm. years this thing? And that's why when you see 2021, that was 2 years ago. It could be that just a little bit better management then would now be paying off.
Yeah.
Well, again, in this chain, these trades are the breaking point of where people are just flabbergasted by this team because, okay, you're not willing to pay your stars to keep them, but you're also incapable of getting value for them when you look to trade them. Right. So you're just nowhere.
No. To me, if DJ is the beginning of the end, not making those trades is the end of the end.
Yep.
It's really like, I don't know why I should care if we can't even trade our best players for maybe some future assets.
Well, and if you still have DJ and Trevor and all these guys on your roster, you're definitely trading Brennan Rodgers for that trade that was on.
Yep. JT Realmuto. Yep. That's when I think about all the time.
You're definitely trading Brennan Rodgers, and you are reloading your system with prospects, and then you still have a solid pitching rotation at that point. John Gray probably re-signs. You've got Herman on a long-term deal. You've got Kyle Freeland on a long-term deal. Like, at this point,
you're actually building a baseball
team. You've got 5 to 6 solid bats and a starting rotation that kicks butt. Then you're just filling out your bullpen with prospect trades like the Brennan Rodgers trade for the JT Realmuto deal. And the Rockies could have been a World Series team. Like, this is genuinely one of the bigger sliding doors moments in my mind.
Do you think it'd take fewer moves to go back to 2018 and reconstruct the Rockies to be the best team in baseball, or fewer moves to go and make them the worst? Like, if you had to go back and say, what's the worst we could do with these moves? You'd probably make fewer changes.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I
don't know how much worse you could genuinely do.
Right. You give Chris Bryant a huge contract. I mean, that would be dumb if you were to do something like that.
Who would do that?
All right, let's take a break on the other side. Let's get that taste out of our mouth. Let's talk Nuggets, and we'll end up with just a quick Rams one, cover all bases.
Speaking of taste in your mouth, Breckenridge Brewery, the brewery of summer for us. I loved your shout out of Palisade Peach. What's more Colorado than a Breckenridge Brewery beer with some Palisade peaches in it? That's like peak, man.
I feel like you should buy that at the corner of a, like, on Federal or something. Yeah. I get a Palisade Peach beer.
Yes. Little beer asterisk. Yeah. Right.
Sell it at the top of a summit. It's so Colorado. It's crazy. I need to find me a good Palisade Peach stand, by the way. You know, everyone's got their favorite, whether you're a Strawberry Sky guy, a Fun Slinger, Mile High City, Avalanche Amber Ale. Maybe you're more of a seltzy person with the Good Company hard seltzers. They've got it all for you. Of course, you know the drill. They've been with us for years, which is part of what we love.
Don't make
about
me pick,
Breck.
Dre. Can I be an all of them guy?
You can be an all Breck Brew guy. You absolutely
I'm back to
can.
Beer, though. I'm having a little bit of a beer.
We're back. Yeah. We're back. Let's go.
Had my seltzy era. I'm back in the, you know.
Let's go. I love this for us. BreckBrew.com. You know the locators there. They will set you on the right track to find whatever flavor of Breck Brew suits you that day. Go check them out. And then they've been a new partner for a couple weeks now. I am loving Bet365, their app, all the bets they provide. It's for these sickos. You know, he's going to get DMs from Serbia. You're going to get DMs from somewhere in Scandinavia. And now with Bet365, we can place all those bets.
Nathan McKinnon's going to win the heart eventually. It's going to happen. He's plus 900 this year.
I think they've got both your teams boosted to win a title.
Yeah.
And as if that wasn't enough.
Man, the Colorado Parlay is 2024. Dude, the Colorado Parlay.
Let's do that.
Is this the Ball Arena Parlay?
I actually know we've got more exciting stuff coming down the pipe with Bet365. And as if that wasn't enough, it's still a new partner. Some of you might not have signed up yet. Get on it. Use that code DNVR365. All you need to do is you do the quick sign up. You deposit money. I think it's a minimum 10. Place a $1 bet. All you need is $1. Win, lose, or tie. We want to place a bet on something that's happening this weekend. Because as soon as that bet is settled, win, lose, or tie, booyah, your account has $200 free bets for you to place these futures on the Nuggets and Avs. Get hyped on the Buffs. Fade the Rockies. Do whatever you want. You want to bet some Women's World Cup, they've got you covered. And of course, right now, as if all that wasn't enough, 70% boost on your parlays, available across most markets. Must be 21 plus and physically located in Colorado. Take advantage of our offer. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you guys want to talk about gambling, you might be talking to a billionaire right now.
Is that
and
right?
Don't even know it.
Oh my God.
Don't even know it. I actually haven't bought a lotto ticket, but I hear it's really big.
How did this transpire?
I went to Circle K earlier today.
You got your lotto?
I didn't have any cash on me, but they were like, you sure you don't want a Mega Millions ticket right now?
Wait, what? Can I still get one?
Yeah, it's like 1.5 billion or something crazy.
It's an absurd amount.
It's an absurd amount. Like,
I'm
going
to do that.
I'm just saying, speak respectfully. You don't know. Might be talking to a very powerful person.
Ferrari next week.
Fair point. The Denver Nuggets have some good ones here. I mean, the most obvious one is if Jamal Murray didn't get hurt. Now, we did a full show on this on the DNVR Nugget show earlier this week, so I'll keep my comments a little bit more abridged. Here's, Rudo, maybe we feel differently, because I could hear in your voice when you were talking about the lost opportunity as this, like, the one that got away that bothers you. Here's the thing with me. If Murray never gets hurt, do the Nuggets win? I think there's a really good chance that they win one of the years that he missed. He missed 2 years.
Yeah.
Because as soon as he came back, they won. But I kind of feel like this played out about as perfect.
You had to go through the hard times to get to the good times?
Either they win two in a row or three in a row, and then obviously that's better. But if they just win one, but it means they don't get a later one or what have you, which is always more possible than not, just because how hungry are you or this or that. So three or two would have been better than one. But if you told me they could have won in 2021, but not 2023, I said, no, this was perfect. The pain, the slow burn, the waiting.
It was.
Every hater on earth
in between.
Digging their heels in on the Nuggets. Yeah. Like, they had the perfect way of creating doubt from everyone so that they all got to be wrong and we got to be right. So I wouldn't change it.
Here, my big question with that, with if Murray is healthy, is do the Nuggets give MPJ enough time to get through his own injury troubles and develop into the guy that he was for them in this finals run? Or does that relationship kind of sour, or is he just not able to be that guy in Denver?
So the thing that happened that sucks that nobody talks about is Jamal Murray got hurt, and the next year Porter was going to go from the number three guy to the number two guy, but then he got hurt.
Yeah.
So then they lost both of them. So to your point, I mean, all these sliding doors, even when you were talking about Hughes, it's like, yeah, but he's a good player, but it just changes things, and who knows? Like,
the chemistry is just who, yeah.
Sometimes better's not actually better.
Yeah.
Yep. And so that's how I look at with the Porter thing, is we know what happened worked, and what could have happened might have also worked.
Mm-hmm.
But I just know from a narrative standpoint, the Nuggets' 2023 championship is my favorite championship of any team I've ever rooted for, and it's not close. And a lot of that had to do with Murray's injury putting us down again to that low point, and then getting to climb all the way back up for it.
Yeah, 1,000%. You do wonder, if Murray's healthy, how much does that change Jokic's development and stuff? You know,
He didn't win MVPs until the year he went
by
down.
Himself.
So
yeah.
He kind of did. I like that one. Here's the crazier one that we had. What if the Nuggets lost to the Jazz in the bubble in 2020? There was a bubble. The pandemic happened.
Mike Conley shot, right?
Mike Conley shot rims out at the last second, and Denver could have lost in round one to an underseeded Utah Jazz team. And, of course, they went on to win that one. They won the next round, and they go to the conference finals. And the era sort of is, like, validated.
Yes.
Like, okay, we know we have the guys.
Is Jamal still a Nugget? Like, that bubble was like, oh, Jamal has arrived, right?
Yes.
So that never happens.
I think you might be right.
Come back from 3-1 and back-to-back series. That was formative for that group.
I mean, it's why we have confidence. Like, if they lose to the Jazz, the thing about it is this. If they lost to the Jazz in that series, we don't have confidence that the Nuggets are.
Mm-hmm.
They won that one, and then they beat the Clippers, and they go to the conference finals that year, and it's like, they're ready. They're on the doorstep, and we know. And then, of course, the Murray thing and whatever. But we kind of knew we had seen it. If they lost to the Jazz, we'd be like, all right, 2 years, they've beaten the San Antonio Spurs, the seven-seeded, terrible, not even building anything San Antonio Spurs, and they have never won anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You either make trades, or even if you don't, we just all don't really believe in them.
The hype isn't there. No. Yeah.
What were the Avs' early wins in the playoffs prior to
They beat Calgary in the playoffs when Makar first arrived. That was the big first one. So like, okay,
that's like 2015 or 16.
That'd
or
be
was
2018.
Okay.
2019.
Yeah,
I
those
guess.
Are
yeah.
huge. And then for the Nuggets, especially the like, they can't get out of the first round. They're just like right. all these other teams we've seen the last 30 years.
Oh,
that
the
would have been excruciating.
Yeah, that's a whole different level of long term pain.
There was because there was like. People that thought that about this team, even with them having made the conference finals, there were still people that were like, yeah, but they're not real or this or that. But if you would have lost to the Jazz, to Rudy Gobert, it would have been like, they're not
there's
real.
Some there were people that were out on the Avs when they were up 3-2 in the cup final. So some fans just live that way. I don't know.
But at least they didn't have a leg to stand on, whereas if you would have lost to the Jazz,
it's a all lot.
The, see, the fun part about being a Nuggets fan in the Jokic era, mm-hmm. with, again, the Murray injury playing into this, is that everything people said, there was a very logical and, I would say, reasonable reason to say, yeah, but you're wrong. The Nuggets won't win with, look at what, they got swept by the Suns. Yeah, but they didn't have Jamal Murray, and that's a huge difference. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you lost to the Jazz, you wouldn't really have a leg to stand on. Your whole thing would just be faith.
Yeah.
So.
No, that would be, that's a huge one.
It's a huge one. It's an ugly one. Mm-hmm. With the Rams, I just have, what if CSU... the Rams, by the way, Justin Michael did give me a long list. Another one. Like, sure. You know, a lot of what ifs there. Yeah. But I'm just going to do this one. What if CSU didn't hire Steve Adazio? Steve Adazio, famously terrible coach. Also, worst interview. Very grouchy. Oh,
terrible.
He's like a guy that... He's a high school football coach from 1977. He should have been in like Dazed and Confused. Right? He seemed like that's where he belonged. Spiritually, he was like yelling at some high schoolers, you know, to pick up their pants or something.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, he comes in. It's a disaster.
It's terrible.
Is it a big sliding door, though?
Had they actually made the right hire where that program could be now as opposed to where they were? I mean, when I was doing some Rams content, I want to say that was about 2017 or so. That's when they'd just come off a winning season. McElwain gets poached and taken to Florida. Their quarterback's a third-round pick. Like, everything seemed to be lined up. Anything in that stretch, in that window, to pick up off that momentum would be huge with where the program's at. Yeah. They've had a new stadium. They've committed a ton of money.
Yeah.
Even these conversations of where could they be in the, you know, realignment, could they go to another Power 5 conference? All those conversations become a lot easier for the Rams if that Steve Adazio tenure isn't so brutal.
The problem in college football with when you end up making a mistake like Adazio is it's not just, oh, we had a bad coach, let's move on. It's this has decimated your ability to recruit players for the foreseeable future. You need to do something like CU and pull a Deion Sanders to be able to recover your ability to recruit college athletes. Yeah. And if they had found a way to just be a half decent program where they could still pull some decent recruits, maybe they're taking the next steps into being an actual competitive college team, but instead they've moved the exact opposite direction.
But at the same time, maybe, maybe not. Your point about the football stadium is a good one. It's a great stadium. Mm-hmm. It's a stadium almost above what CSU football is, right? But the thing is that, and I feel the same way about CU, by the way. CSU people, don't come after me for this. You got Coach Prime at CU. I feel like it's great because you've outkicked your coverage, but the odds of you retaining this guy for a long time, in my opinion, are very, very low, because if you're too good, then you just go somewhere else. And I just feel the same way about CSU. Like, how big of a sliding door, and this, again, I'm pretty outside college football, so this isn't a big take, but it's you either got a great guy who was there for a little bit and maybe helps you the program a little bit, but then he's gone, or you just found the perfect middle guy who was like, pretty good. A little bit better than what Adazio was.
Yeah.
Maybe what we think Norvell might be, especially this year, which is pretty good. But we already, if we already have a Norvell, did we just really just arrive at the same point?
Yeah, in a sense, you could make that argument. It's the maintaining of momentum and how key that is in college athletics to like raise your profile. That's like, yeah, you set them back. Like, you didn't do that for a solid like 3 years, you know. But yeah, you're right. I don't think it's monumental as some of the other ones we've talked about.
What's the latest? Are they Pac-12?
No.
Is the Pac-12 the Pac-12?
Is the Pac-12 the Pac-12? So they're not Pac-12?
Definitely not 12.
Pac-12 kind of died today.
Yeah, the Pac-12 might just be defunct.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. They might have added some Pac-12 teams to their conference.
That was actually the Pac-12 that came to Mountain West.
Exactly.
All right. Everybody, thanks for hanging with us. We had a good time with this. A lot of what ifs. You guys catch all the stuff we have going on at DNVR. We have a bunch of people passionate about a lot of different sports. Of course, Rudo covering the Avs. What do we have going on with Avs next week?
Nothing.
Deep off season.
Yeah, they're all on the golf course. That's what's going on with the Avs next week.
We got Dre doing bets as well as filling in for basically every other thing. And, of course, me doing the Nugget stuff. Everybody hit that like button. Be safe. Have a great weekend. We'll see you later.